This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now the third episode of Miss Marvel. I'm Alex Marvel.
Justin Marvel.
I'm Pete.
Not related to being Justin, obviously.
Pete's now, if DC. We're brothers. Brothers.
Now, if you haven't watched the third episode of Miss Marvel titled Destined on Destiny, Destiny Plus.
Destiny Plus.
Too many words that sound the same. That's I'm just throwing that out there. That's okay.
It is our destiny. It is our destiny to watch.
Plus, it's fun to watch.
If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it on Disney Plus because we're going to spoil it. But the big overarching overview here is we finally get the reveal of the villains. Specifically, it's Naja, who is the woman that we met at the end of the last episode, and a group called many names, but I think we can call them the Clandestine. We'll get into some of the Marvel Comics origins of those characters as we go through the episode. They fight with Kamala at her brother's wedding, ruining it. Her secret almost comes out, but we find out some big revelations about the backstory, as well as the greater ties to the Marvel Cinematic Universe over the course of the episode. And by the end here, Kamala is faced with some big decisions in terms of what she's going to do forward. Nakia also finds out her secret. Bruno is very hurt. So this is really the turn for the series is going on here, and we'll see how things are going forward. But why don't we get into it? What were your big takeaways? What did you think about this episode?
I love how sweet the show is. There's a lot of like adorable moments. I feel like what's great is we're getting a superhero show, but we're also getting a show that's about family and people going through changes and figure out who they are and stuff. And I love that at the core. It's a nice kind of like refresher before all the madness begins and stuff like that. And all the characters are really great and get to kind of like shine. So and her brother was hysterical and
the best in this.
Yeah, like just man, the dancing was fun. This was a fun app.
Yeah, the Khan family really is the core of this show, and I think it's just the casting they've done for Mom, Dad, Amir. Like, it's so great, and they're so fun to watch. Because as a whole, I thought this episode for the story was very, like, not much happened. It was very a middle episode, and it felt like everyone was just talking to...
Oh, come on.
What? You don't...
Come on, man.
It literally is that. It's a middle episode.
Come on.
So it just felt like it was like, here are all the themes we're dealing with.
We got Brown Jovi in this. This was so much
love
fun.
Brown
I
Jovi.
Mean, come on.
Living dude. On a prayer. I'm here
I
for
mean,
it. I'm not saying.
Great fight sequence ever saw going. I mean, what are you talking about?
I think we talk about this a lot with Marvel shows, though. They have a sort of a formula that, and this one was feels like it's so far out of that because of all the cultural touchstones, all the like different creative elements they're adding to the show. Yeah. But then we get this episode. I'm like, ah, yes, I know this episode in the Marvel run of episodes.
Are you mad?
Well,
you're
I'll
mad
say, I think the formula. The formula they're hewing a lot closer to than Marvel in the show is Gossip Girl, because every episode of the show, it's all built around some central event. All the characters go there. They really wreck the event by the end of the episode and then ultimately learn a couple of lessons along the way.
So, wow.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Interesting.
Going hard.
So that's the main connection here?
Yeah, that's the main connection. And,
how many Muslim weddings were in Gossip Girl?
Oh, gosh.
Like, once a season?
Well, Blake Lively definitely got Muslim married at some point.
Wow. Okay. I don't know if that's true or false.
No, that's
definitely not
true. That's terrible. No, obviously there weren't. It was just a thought that I had while watching the episode.
Yeah.
It just seems like this is probably in their Bible somewhere. They're like, we're going to build to this event. Something's going to go wrong there with Miss Marvel's powers. And then we're going to kind of go from there. She messes up a little bit. I do appreciate, I will throw out there just to push this discussion forward a little bit. I do appreciate that she becomes more and more capable every episode, but as we've been talking about, she's still not like an unstoppable superhero. She still hurts her knee in this episode.
She almost falls during the dance.
Yeah, she's mostly working on instinct, frankly. Like, her powers are just kind of working on their own, and she's following along with it. So I like that. I like the way they're treating that, and it feels much more realistic and grounded, despite the fact that we're dealing with other universes and Jin and all of these other things.
Also, we kind of get a little bit her closer to being what we've seen in the comic books with that kind of long punch move. That was straight from the comics, so it was kind of cool to see that happening as well.
Yeah, she's got a real jelly hand understanding of the powers. Parents out there will know what I mean by jelly hand. It's a toy that's sticky and it's a hand and it's gross. It's immediately covered in dust and random Cheerios. It's a disgusting thing. And that's what it reminds me of every time she uses her powers.
I do think we have to relive that nightmare all the time.
Yeah, truly. I do think when Bruno gets hurt, she sort of dials into her, she gets better at it. And I think this episode is setting up just how much her family cares about her. In the first two episodes, it was a lot of like her in conflict with her mom and dad a little bit, her disappointing them, making her dad's cosplay look embarrassing, truly.
Which, shows up at the wedding.
Yeah,
the kid
it does.
Is wearing the Hulk costume this episode, which I thought was a very cute callback.
Fun.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, that's, to me, setting up, like, her family really does care about her and are sort of rallying around her, and that will be the thing that unlocks her real Miss Marvel transformation.
Mm. Well, speaking of which, why don't we talk about the big continuity stuff that happens in this episode? Because right at the beginning, we get a flashback to 1942. We see Aisha and Naja are with this team that we later find out is the clandestines, the Jin. They are people from Noor. I believe it's N-O-O-R is the way that you spell that, an alternate dimension. And they are thought of as Jins or genies or whatever you want to call them, demons, as the dad helpfully lays out later on. And all they want to do is use these bangles
to... That was coincidental.
Use these bangles to get back to their dimension. The unfortunate side effect is it's going to destroy everything. But we find out a lot of information here, not least of which is that there's two bangles. One was on a blue wrist, which initially I thought tied into the whole Kree thing that we've been about.
Oh,
it may still, but also, you know, it could be blue like Aladdin's genie. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're talking about Will Smith.
I was thinking Smurf. Yeah. I was thinking Smurf.
Will Smith, the original genie from the original Aladdin.
Yeah, the most celebrated genie performer of all time.
Oh, stop that.
Literally, just saying this to troll Pete.
No other reason to say this but to just make Pete mad.
Defame Robin Williams, all right? The greatest, the GOAT.
Oh, that's the Mrs. Doubtfire guy, right?
It's so much more, and don't undercut what he was and what he meant to people.
So there's a couple of continuity things that I wanted to lay out here that tie into the comics as well as the greater MCU. And then, of course, would love to hear what you guys think and are speculating about them. The big one with the Jin, specifically when they mentioned the clandestines, I don't think they're specifically doing this, but there is a group that I believe was created by Alan Davis in the 1990s called Clandestine. And it was this dude who was a medieval dude, fell in love with a genie. And they had a whole series of superpowered kids. And I think often they were like, in a very convoluted way, antagonists or helping out and have mostly disappeared in the present day. But I think that's what they're riffing off of here. I don't think we're going to see anything specifically about that in this show. But I do think that's what they're pulling on. That's why they called out the name. That's where they got probably the Jin thing. Obviously, that ties a lot into Arabic culture as well, which we're playing on here. So I think that's a nice riff that's going on. But the other big thing this ties into is in the scene at the beginning in 1942 with Aisha and Naja, they're digging through this wreckage. We don't know exactly what went on, why there's a severed arm there with the bangle or anything like that. But when the camera pulls up and reveals on the floor is the Ten Rings. Now, this is something that we talked about in a previous episode, or at least I was speculating that in the end credits scene of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, we find out that the rings are giving off a signal to somewhere, and then Wong doesn't know what it is. Here, we're getting another connection. It's not explicit, but it's another piece of jewelry that seems to have a connection to the Ten Rings that has a connection to another dimension, which I was, even with the speculation, was honestly surprised about, because I know we're feeding directly into the Marvels which is tying into Captain Marvel. We're going to get Tiona Paris as Monica Rambeau as well. I assume that would tie into Kree stuff. But it certainly seems like we're actually, in some way, tying into Shang-Chi and potentially a bigger story there.
It feels like, awesome. To me, seeing and hearing all of this, it feels like it's getting into Earth being the battleground for a Kree-Skrull war or something like that. And I think that could feed into the upcoming Samuel Jackson series.
So wait, you're not convinced about the whole Nord Dimension genie thing? You think it's still actually the Kree?
I do. Yeah, I think I feel like they're clearly they lied to Miss Marvel out of the gate. So she's like, she was not fooled by them per se, but she was like, okay, I trust you. And then they're clearly like after her. I feel like they could easily be lying again. Because I also said, like, what does Nord get us?
Dimension, and then they spelled it. You know what I mean? Like, after you spell something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be true.
That's why spelling bees, you can't lie to spelling bee.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows that.
Here's the other thing that I do think tees up what you're saying, Justin, that they're potentially lying. And I don't know why. Maybe we brought this up in a previous episode and I missed it. I don't know why this has not occurred to me before. But they mentioned that there's two bangles here. That is straight up the, the Nega Bands that Captain Marvel, not Captain Marvel Carol Danvers, but Mar-Vell the Kree in the comic books wears. He bangs them together and they give him his powers. So I feel like that's what those are, right?
Yeah.
Those bangles?
I think so, because I bet the other one has a slightly different power set, and banging them together makes a much more powerful Captain Marvel character. So, like, I think just with the Marvels coming up, it feels like we're getting into lineage and legacy, and we're going to just sort of scoop all that stuff up into this, like, current run of the TV Marvel TV universe.
That's all said, now that we do have the reveal of the baddies and this bad group, the Clandestines, how are you feeling about them? How do you like this group? How do you like the villains for the series?
I think they did a great job of like introducing them and kind of walking that line of like, are they good? Are they bad? But they didn't let us kind of dwell on it too long. You know what I mean? Like, we got kind of the reveal at the end of the last episode. And then in this episode, we're like, okay, clear. We don't have to kind of go back and forth a whole season or any nonsense like that. So I was super happy about that. And I also think it makes sense. Like, all right, instead of just like bum rushing someone and being a dick, try to be nice, see if it works. And if not, like, okay, we got to do what we got to do. But just super rude to ruin a wedding like that. I mean, wait till afterwards. You know what I mean? You don't have to, know what I mean?
Like, wait till the dinner hits, at least. Everyone's
exactly.
Have an hors d'oeuvre, take part.
Yes, in the bag, enjoy.
I gotta say, even though I enjoyed this episode, I felt like there were a couple of things that were a little convenient in terms of setting up conflict. Like, there didn't seem to be a clear explanation of why they have waited for decades to find this bangle, and they're like, nope, gotta ruin the wedding, gotta get in there right now and murder everybody, let's go. You know, why they couldn't wait for a day, other than we needed a fight scene of the episode. Well,
they knew where she was, so it's an easy kind of snatch and grab situation.
I mean, they most of the time know where she was because they can text her or visit her.
And she likes them. She's hanging out with them.
So she was going to help them out. Like, there was no turn there. There's no scene where she's like, I don't know if I want to do this. She just says she needs a little more time, and that's it. I don't know. That felt a little convenient. Also, damage control coming in at the end and taking down the Clandestines was cool. I like that. But at the same time, Kamala just sneaking off through the side door and nobody noticing it. Very weird.
Well, the Clandestine being like, all right, they got us. I mean, you guys are supposed to be pretty powerful, it seems like. Damage control, famously not real big law enforcement. They're like cleanup. So the whole thing, I'm just like, I feel like there's more mystery to damage control. They were set up in the first couple episodes as like after Miss Marvel. So like, to then now it's like, what are they? What are they doing? Are they helpful? It just feels like we have a lot of mystery here and not a lot of understanding of where we're actually headed. Besides Karachi.
I hear it. Yeah. And that was fun. I mean, I'm very excited to get to really meet that grandma. That's going to be a blessing.
Grandma.
You love there's a
nothing,
grandma.
There's nothing more fun than a grandma who doesn't give a fuck and is willing to kind of play in the gray
area. Who knows how to use FaceTime.
Yeah. And a bonus is into trains. You love trains, Pete.
I mean, right? Who doesn't love trains?
Yeah.
I've seen the train.
The
you've
grandma
seen,
train.
Yeah, if you've seen the train, you got to go on a train. I just think it I don't know what we were talking about anymore, but I did.
No, you heard train. You just said train like 9 times. Like, when you see train, you choo-choo to train. And train, training day, train, train.
Seems like you lost your train of thought.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, but the damage control thing was convenient the way they just went after them and lost track of those two, even though it was clear there was a fight with everybody. But the...
Wait. Oh, go ahead, Pete, and then I want to throw out something else
I
about damage
I did like those kind of little, the fact that they got an upgrade and are able to kind of mix it up with bad guys a little bit is exciting. It's not just what we've seen in the comics where it's like after the fact they're just kind of cleaning up and being like, man, these superheroes are real assholes.
Real messy.
So I'm glad. I also really love the Moss scene where they got handled and their ass handed to them. That was really a fantastic scene.
Yeah. I do think at least part of the confusion in terms of what damage control does has to do with how COVID shifted the schedule. Like Miss Marvel's been sitting around for a while. Miss Marvel was filming while WandaVision was coming out. Like that's how far back it goes. There was a great story that came out about Iman Vellati, who has just constantly been every interview. She's like, I am a legit more hardcore Marvel fan than you are. Was watching WandaVision on her phone while finishing while filming Miss Marvel to the point where Kevin Feige was like, it's not supposed to be watched on a phone. What are you doing? But she was like losing her mind and falling on the floor. And I feel like WandaVision, you have S.W.O.R.D. It's the sentient weapon organization research and development or whatever it is.
Wow. Yes, dude. Nailed that.
Yeah.
Struggled in the middle, but really came home.
I don't know. That would be the appropriate organization to be taking care of this, I feel like, not damage control. And just the fact that they had all of these trains, right, Pete, running simultaneously in terms of WandaVision, Miss Marvel, all of these things, movies and things that they're making at the same time. It feels like they didn't know which one was going to pop necessarily. And because of the way it came out, this should have been S.W.O.R.D. It was damage control because they already had those actors locked in. So...
You can't overplay your sword, all right? You don't want to over sword. You know what I mean? 100%. You want to get in a little damage control here and there, you know what I mean? Then a little sword. You know, let people know there's a lot of options. You know what I mean? There's a lot going on.
I'm with you, Alex, because remember how like Coulson was such a fun part of the original Phase 1 Marvel movies, and he really tied it all together. Like, if they had introduced some version of that here that could sort of be that for a little bit for the Marvel TV shows, I think that would have been fun.
Yeah. Well, maybe. We'll get some of that. You don't know.
We'll see what happens.
Wait for it.
Other things in the episode we should talk about, I can just throw out a couple of other Easter eggs that popped up. We got a mention of Eric Selvig, everyone's favorite, Stellan Skarsgård.
Everyone loves that dude.
Yes, Bruno reads a bunch of papers by him. I thought maybe we were going to see an appearance like on, you know, Zoom or something, but we didn't. That's too bad. And another cameo in here, Sana Amanat, who's the editor who helped co-create Miss Marvel, shows up at the wedding very briefly in the background. So
fun.
That was fun to spot her in there. I don't know if G. Willow Wilson was also at the wedding. I just sort of glanced at Sana, but entirely possible.
Talking about the wedding in general, I thought it was a great set piece. I love all the little sort of bits and pieces of the just the traditions of a Muslim wedding that I didn't know. And to see them in the show, I thought was really cool. And have them like explain and be like, here's why this happens. The dances as like so almost a gift to the couple, I thought was really cool. So in general, I know I was saying this episode didn't have a lot going on, but the pieces itself,
it
I thought, were
a lot
were
going
great.
On. Also, the speaking of the wedding, the wife just like having such a great time, you know, like she's being like fed food. She was loving every minute of it. It was really so great. And, you know, I'm going to bring it up again. Those dance numbers were fun. That was a lot of fun. And I don't care if you have to shoehorn in a wedding like that. That's fun to watch. And then have a fucking fight right after. Great. Thank you. I don't care if it makes sense or not. That's what I want to have happen. So thank you.
I will say, and I will frame this up as I am not a great dancer. Having them be like not great dancers, I thought was pretty fantastic.
Keeping
like,
it real.
Yeah, they didn't have like a super coordinated dance number. It looked like the sort of thing that they were practicing leading up to a wedding, which I thought was very fun, just in terms of the loose movements and everything. And everybody seemed to be having a great time.
It's so a inside fun. Jokes with everyone who knows everyone there. Like, I agree. It was really smartly made.
I also want to talk about that sweet moment where she finds out, like, she's dealing with, like, the fact that she went viral and, like, her just kind of blank stare to that cut to while she was looking at the video footage was great. But then the moment where she's kind of, like, pulled out and was like, what's wrong, Squishy? And, like, you know, had that dude, bro moment. Oh, it was just so, so cool and so touching. And it was really nice to see because in those little things, you get to see like how much they know and love each other and been through together. It's just, it's really smartly done and well executed.
Yeah. What are you feeling about Nakia so far? This seems like a big episode for her in particular.
Well, we got to see her like handling business at the mosque and then kind of like, her kind of coming into her own as also our main character is kind of coming into her own with their powers and stuff. So it's cool and exciting and smartly done, I think.
I'm curious what her role in the overall show is because she almost feels like she's in a separate plot. She's dealing with sort of her aspirations at the mosque, and she feels betrayed when she doesn't know about Kamala's powers, but it felt sort of like, oh, yeah, well, you're not really a part of this whole thing. Like, it's Bruno's very much at the center of it, Kamala's family, like, all of that. It just, to me, it felt a little like, I don't know what her slot is when this all comes down.
Well, I think what I like about it is it's this thing of, like, her choices that she's going to have to make and who's in her inner circle and, like, who she trusts, who she doesn't. Yeah. But, like, she's been such a huge part of her life up until this point. And yeah, now things are happening now where it seems different, but I like it because it's a tie to her old life and plans that they had together to kind of be on the board and shake things up and make things right. So yeah, it's a little bit awkward, but I think on purpose in this episode.
And I hope so, because I really like the story and I like Nakia as a performer. I'm just waiting to see how it comes together.
I wanted to mention two things that we missed in previous episodes. Probably should have done this at the corrections at the beginning of the episode. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, we cut the corrections. We don't make mistakes.
Oh, no, no mistakes. This
totally
was not
make
a mistake.
Mistakes.
We purposely omitted these facts. The first one, somebody pointed out in the YouTube comments, which I had completely missed, the kid who was taking selfies out the window in the last episode of The Mosque seems to be the shoe stealer from The Mosque because he seemed to have Nakia's shoes at that point. Which I thought was a really good catch. So that ties up that little plot line. Wow, and another one, we had talked a little bit about Eternals and whether this ties into Eternals. And we did, in fact, miss an Eternals reference in the previous episode. When Cameron and Kamala are talking on their pseudo date, he brings up Kingo and Kingo's grandfather. That's Kumail Nanjiani's character from Eternals. And it's a fun little thing because we know as viewers that it's the same guy just pretending to be his own grandfather and father, etc. But they're talking about him as two separate actors. So
And that's another reason why I feel like Clandestine feels like it's like, why are we adding this other like different dimension where these people are from? And like when we have Eternals, Kree, we have all this stuff like right here on the table. That's why I feel like it's going to be a red herring and it's going to end up folding back into probably the Kree, but one of them.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. All right, before we wrap up here, any other moments from the episode that you guys wanted to mention in particular?
I want to go back to the wedding real quick. I really love the part where you have to say I do three times. I thought that was so cool.
It was cool.
You know what I mean? Like, it was really kind of checking Lock with someone in to make sure they're sure. And, like, I thought it was just really sweet. And I thought it was a really – and, you know – maybe outside of all the things that are going on in the show, but still like such a kind of nice moment to take a break and to kind of show this whole thing and a peek into what their kind of like marriages are like and stuff. I thought it was so, so nice and pretty cool.
Does that work if you could ask a question like two or three times in a row? Are you like, I do?
Well, you think about it. You're kind of like, if you have to just say, like, oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, yeah, but seriously? And you're kind of like, oh, yeah, wow, you're right.
I think all servers and restaurants should ask you, like, are you sure? Do you want that?
I would immediately change my order. I would have been waiting for three
times.
You're right.
What do I do?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Just choose something for me. It's fine.
Yeah.
Lettuce, bacon. I've led the lettuce and bacon. Oh, God.
All right. Before we wrap up, then, why don't we go to our vision board where we talk about what we want to see in the next episode? Pete, what is on your vision board for
More Bon Jovi, Avi. I want every fight sequence scored by Bon Jovi. And a shout out. I just feel like that was a lot of fun. But I want also, I'm worried about how her team is going to work. You know, we got these kind of the importance of family. And I'm just wondering if Bruno is going to Caltech, like, what's that going to mean and who's on her side? So I'd like to kind of like get her inner circle kind of nailed down so we can really start just fighting crime. You know what I mean?
I think that's great. Similarly to Pete in the music tip, I think this show has great music. Are we going to get the Bangles singing Eternal Flame when finally see both Bangles come together? Something we will perhaps see this series.
I will say Bon Jovi is very Jersey, so that seemed on the nose there. I don't know if the Bangles will be the same way, but
he's bigger than Jersey.
It's a good song.
Bigger than Jersey.
Yeah.
On my vision board, we already got what I wanted for the last episode, which was a reveal of the villains, which I was very happy about. Now I would love to see an episode for the more explicit ties in terms of the Marvel Universe at all. They've been teasing it for the past couple of episodes, given that we are seemingly taking some sort of trip to the past and going to find out more about Aisha potentially meeting her. I would love to find out that history and maybe have some clarity on, yes, actually, this is the Kree, or no, there is a dimension of Jin, and that's where you come from in the episode, because I think that'll really kick us into high gear as we get into episodes 5 and 6.
So you're saying my Smurfs cross over is completely the table.
I think we can guarantee that's where we're headed here.
All right.
We do need some sort of Gargamel character who is trying to turn Miss Marvel into gold. I would appreciate that.
Nice. Thank you for tracking down the deep Smurf mythology. He not only was just a random villain, he was trying to turn them into gold random. Mm-hmm. Let me say also, like, I do think getting the family to really, Kamala, to actually talk to her family, come clean with them, and getting them to all work together, because they're a powerful unit, I think. And if they can all get together and be behind her, I think that is the secret sauce. And I'm ready for it. Feels like we're going to get there. I think next episode is the time to do it.
Oh, I have one more, actually. I don't want to wait until episode 6 to see her in costume. I'm tired of that in superhero shows. She got the mask this episode. Let's just speed it up. We get to see it. She's got
one little piece at a time. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Slowly building your uniform.
100%. That's how, like, I get dressed. Over the course of 5 days, I slowly put on my clothes. So if you meet me on a Monday, watch out. I'm not wearing a lot.
Straight up Donald Duckin, man. If you would like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Miss Marvel. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Marvel Vision Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
And the Marvel flip was really great at the beginning of the episode.
That's toot toot, all aboard the train. Choo choo.